Cynthia Freeland, have you seen Wildcats with Goldie Hawn?
Of course I've seen Wildcats with Goldie Hawn. I don't know if you can find something with Goldie Hawn I haven't seen.
Well, do you think this movie, it was so funny because during the last commercial break, I'm like flipping around the channels and I'm searching through the HBOs and I see Wildcats. I'm like, I probably haven't watched this movie in 15 years. I loved it. And I'm like thinking, will this movie hold up? Have you watched it recently? Does it still hold up after all these years?
You know, I think it does. Maybe not for like the younger kids, but I do appreciate like the one scene where she's like running around the track and like in her sweats and she like outruns the whole football team.
Yeah.
That never gets old, you know, never.
And by the way, for those who don't know, two of the players on this high school football team that Goldie Hawn coaches are Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson.
Because why not? Because that's exactly
right. Of course. I mean, they look like they're 30 and they're on a high school football team, but that's neither here nor there. All right. Cynthia, let's start with the Browns here. Obviously, everybody in Cleveland is very excited. We're excited to play the schedule game tomorrow when the schedule comes out. And obviously, NFL Network is going to have the coverage. The Browns, you know, addressed offense last year. The offense improved. The defense still wasn't very good. What's your overall assessment on what the Browns did both in free agency and the draft on defense this year?
Ooh, I liked what the Browns did. I'm big on the strategy of if you have the luxury to double down on like the areas that you focused on in free agency with your draft picks, that's a luxury most teams don't have. But the Browns did a really nice job of that, both with John Johnson and then Greg Newsom, and then, of course, with Tack McKinley, and then you know, you got JOK a little later. Like, he was probably the steal of the draft. So kind of that the front and the back of the defense, this was a really, really smart strategy.
You mentioned JOK, and I love him too. I think he might be the steal of the draft as well. Why do you think he's the steal of the draft?
Well, he doesn't fit on every single team. So some people are less creative than, you know, obviously the Browns were. Or I feel like some of the good teams wouldn't say that, but some of the bad teams would probably be like, nah, maybe he's a little too much of an in-between. I'm not entirely sure. But ultimately, his ability to be useful and molded and help in that front without having to be one, like, specific thing. Because, by the way, it's becoming less and less, you know, percentage basis of snaps where people are in, like, a true base defense. So his ability to kind of fit in a scheme and be useful, sure, you have to be, I'm not going to use the word creative, but you have to be a little bit more kind of in being able to anticipate where he'd be useful, maybe a little differently than some other players, but I don't know. I love the upside there.
I think it's a great point, Cynthia. I remember it wasn't all that long ago that we used to argue about, like, this guy, does he fit a 4-3 or a 3-4? And, like, now you don't even have those conversations because, as you say, most teams are, and certainly the Browns, are not in a base defense very often, right, with all the passing today and just the creativity. And, you know, we're seeing a lot more creativity. I think football has been really slow to adapt. You look at how baseball has been, for good and bad, revolutionized by analytics, basketball a little bit. You know, a lot of the old school football guys have been slow to come around. And I think that's the big advantage the Browns have over some other teams. It's weird to say that about the Browns, but they do. They're different.
Yeah, they're smart. I mean, if you look at that, it's really, really interesting as I'm, like, going through mentally. Like, they were able to reinforce the high-value positions, like, you know, getting a lineman, not necessarily a first-rounder or anything, but they already have a great line. So bring in a guy who can add a few meaningful snaps and grow or develop into something else and keep it young, keep it fresh. I understand that some people don't like rotating offensive line play. They think it should be pretty static. But let's be honest, you have a huge advantage if you're able to do that and keep your productivity high. So I don't know. I'm like real impressed with all this. Like, if they're not good, it's not on the people who built the roster.
Yeah. Cynthia, when you look at the roster overall, like, how would you rate it? Do you think it's a top 5 roster in the NFL? Is it a top 10? Where would you put it?
The interesting part about, like, I guess I haven't thought about like that yet because I'm so like knee deep in the schedule release that, you know, your opponents also matter, and because the Ravens are still very good as well. I definitely think that the Browns are playing in January, and not jinxing anything. There's some wood that I just knocked on. They're definitely playing in January, but it's like, you know, it's interesting to see top. I mean, they're definitely no lower than top 10, but unfortunately the Ravens are pretty good too. So I don't, you know what I'm saying? So it's a little bit different to say like top 5 is hard. I guess I'd have to go through and look, but I have two teams from your division playing in January.
Cynthia Freeland with us, NFL Network Analytics expert. You can follow her on Twitter at C Freeland, F-R-E-L-U-N-D. I spelled that right, right?
That was perfect.
I did it.
Said it right, and you spelled it right.
NFL Network reveals the 2021 schedule on Wednesday. That's tomorrow at 8 p.m. We're all excited about that. You mentioned two teams in this division making the playoffs. There are so many people that cannot accept the fact that the Steelers are not that good. Now, I don't know where you have them. I said yesterday, I think they're going to finish 7-10. Everybody thinks I'm nuts
this year. He's crazy. He thinks they're going to win seven games, Cynthia.
Hey, listen. I think a little Benny's going. I think little Benny's going over the cliff this year.
Oh boy.
And I think their offense stinks outside of their line stinks. They have I know they got a young running back, but whatever. They can't block. And I think their defense has gone backwards. I think they're under 500, and I'm standing by it. You with me, Cynthia, or no?
I think seven's too low, but I still think they'd be under 500 at eight. I think eight's about right. Their schedule could be really bad too. They've got some weird West Coast stuff. I don't get it early. They don't give me an early preview, so I'll see it when kind of it gets released to the rest of the media. But yeah, it seems like they could have some real West Coast doozies back and forth, which could make it even harder.
Cynthia, how much better does their running game get with Najee Harris?
Like a little bit, because it's
just a little
bit. It's going to be difficult. I like Najee Harris. Don't get me wrong.
I think
he's a great running back, but it's very hard to run behind an O line that's not very good. So I'm not thrilled with their O line. Maybe that'll change.
You're giving my partner all this ammunition, Cynthia.
That's right. And
Cynthia
is the smartest person on NFL Network.
She is.
So I'm, you know, she knows what she's talking about. Cynthia,
it's not a Najee Harris mock. I think he's.
Yeah.
I liked him, but it's more of the fact that it's very hard to do that, especially if Ben keeps the quick passing up and they know what they're going to do and the playbook isn't as comprehensive, so the defense doesn't have to keep it honest.
Cynthia, if you had to take the three receiving cores, you got Odell, Jarvis, and we'll say Rashard Higgins with the Browns. You got Juju Smith-Schuster, Deontay Johnson, and Chase Claypool of the Steelers. Or you've got the Bengals trio, which they've just added to, obviously, in the draft, to go with Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins. Who are you going with? Which of the receiving cores are you taking?
Ooh, that's a tough one because I really, really like Ja'Marr Chase, and I really, really like T. Higgins. So, I mean, unfortunately, fortunately for Browns fans, rest of the Bengals team is not that good, so it's not going to be a big problem. But I think they have the best receiving core, and Browns are second.
Browns second, Steelers third. We're talking with Cynthia Freeland from NFL Network. We were discussing earlier, like, you know, as a player or as a fan, would you rather your team play 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock night games? And it's the challenge when you're a good team, or at least a new, you know, kind of a new good team like the Browns, getting used to that inconsistent schedule, right? Because for the Browns, for years, they stunk, and they would play 13, 14, even 15 games at 1 o'clock. But this year, I think they're going to have a ton of night games. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the thing that matters more than the time of day that you play is the the sequencing of opponents. You know, they see Lamar Jackson twice a year. And Lamar Jackson, so you prep for Lamar Jackson one way. And then the next week, who are you playing? Are you playing like a true pocket passer the next week? Because those things are actually more difficult than the time, right? I understand, like, I wasn't a player, I don't know, but at least from like what the statistics bear out in terms of, you know, how performance works, it's more like style of play changes being dramatically different in back-to-back weeks, especially in that like sweet spot around the middle of the schedule where everyone seems to get like, you know, hurt like 10-ish, you know, 10-ish 12, that range. Like if you got to switch back and forth a lot, that's a harder thing to overcome than changing times.
Cynthia, it's been a decade and Tim Tebow's back in the NFL. What do you think? Is this crazy or what?
I'm cynical, so I think it's like a try to sell tickets, right?
Maybe.
You know, like I feel like, would we be talking about like the Jags took Trevor Lawrence? We got it. We've been talking about Aaron Rodgers since the draft started, and Jags are like, we want to get back in that news cycle. So I don't know. I'm cynical though, so because I think it's ridiculous. Totally
ridiculous. Do you think he can make the roster?
Yeah, because no, like I don't even know if my parents love me as much as Urban Meyer loved Tim Tebow.
Good point.
Like it's,
I agree.
I mean, make the roster. Yeah. Play on, like, be productive and whatever. That's a different story. But, like, I don't know. You can put anyone on your roster.
That's right. I think it's a total joke. If his name wasn't Tim Tebow, he wouldn't be on the roster. He was handed a job in baseball that he shouldn't have gotten, and now he's been handed a job in football. And whatever, I mean, he wants to do it, he wants to do it. But I had somebody arguing with me yesterday that he's a good fit for the Jaguars. I'm like, he's 30-something years old. He's never played the position. He's out of the league for 9 years. What the hell makes him a good fit? He's going to go out there and block? Good luck with that. Yeah, I agree with you. It's a total joke.
I think it's, I mean, again, they can do what they want. It's not like,
sure.
Like theoretically, Urban Meyer could sign me. I'm available. I would love to be on that league minimum. Yes, of course, right? I'm 3 years
course.
Out of
yeah.
college. I'm just as old as Tim Tebow. So, I mean, it's ridiculous. So, at the end of the day, I think it's a, you know, it's a story. It's interesting. We truly wouldn't be talking about the Jags right now, but for the fact that they did that.
Well, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers there. What's your best guess as to how that resolves itself?
Unfortunately, I think leverage is the key to life. And much like we all know, everyone in every job knows this, right? It's all about leverage. And Brian Gutekunst does not have the leverage here. He's not in a good spot. I mean, you want to call Aaron Rodgers bluff? Okay, then you're the GM that made Aaron Rodgers like retire or sit out. Like that's a bad look. Now you have to figure out, do we trade him? Okay, well, what's going to be a big enough haul to really command a MVP, 37? Like, you know, what's the right balance of that? No one's going to – it's kind of a lose-lose situation for that. I was actually joking with one of my producers the other day, because we've been doing a lot of stuff on that, like proposing trades and what would be enough. So I did like a bunch of historical references on like what, you know, major players have commanded and kind of plus it up to be at least somewhat defensible for what Aaron Rodgers could command in the marketplace. And I was like, you know, this would have never happened if a woman was a GM, because let me be honest, no one would be like, you'd back down. You'd be like, you know what? It's Aaron Rodgers. Let's just pay him and we'll figure it out. Like the ego just would just go, unfortunately, you know, the ego would just be gone because if you're a woman and work in this industry, your ego is already like done. So.
Cynthia, how much of this Rodgers-Wilson stuff has to do with Tom Brady and him leaving New England, going to Tampa Bay, them putting everything around him, him having everything he needs, and then he wins the championship?
Maybe for Russell Wilson, it's more of in play. I think for Aaron Rodgers, this merely boils down to that they could have and should have done a deal at least mid-last season, if not the beginning of last season. The Dak comp in the marketplace is totally ridiculous for Aaron Rodgers, because you're telling me now that Dak's more valuable than Aaron Rodgers, and that's kind of annoying, right, for him, for Aaron Rodgers, reigning MVP. He's not going to win the MVP again. It's highly unlikely to win the MVP back-to-back seasons. His deal is not up, but it's like 8, and it's close to up, like a year or so, whatever, out. You know, Patrick Mahomes signed a very deal, a team-friendly deal. Tom Brady got all the control. Aaron Rodgers gets Jordan Love, you know, drafted without even being courtesy phone called to tell him. And then he's like, all right, fine. Like, I'll go play my ass off for you, and then you're going to pay me. And then they didn't, right? Like, they offered a big deal. They offered, but not big enough. Like, it's one thing, you know, it's all in how it's structured, because you can look at, don't ever do, like, we're smarter on your show, right? Like, you know that when you add up the number that's reported by the agent and divided by the number of years, that's like never right, because it's, when are you getting that money? Is it front loaded? Is it back loaded? You know, front loaded is player friendly. Back loaded is team friendly. Aaron Rodgers is not going to sign a back loaded anything. He doesn't need to, and he's too old for that. So, you know, they did offer him a big deal, but not bigger than Dak. So don't put that Dak comp in the marketplace. Everybody knew it was coming.
I still can't believe they drafted Jordan Love. I mean,
made no sense.
I understand the comparisons to Brett Favre and Rodgers, but Aaron Rodgers showed no signs of being anywhere close to being done. I just can't understand that. What were they thinking? Like, and in this NFL versus then, you know, in those days, guys would sit when they would get drafted. Now nobody sits. You sit 1 year, it feels like you've been waiting forever. What do you think they were thinking when they did that?
You know, I do believe in the strategy of, I think every year a team should, especially if you have a quarterback that's getting in towards the end of his career, you should, in the later rounds, not the first round, and you certainly shouldn't trade up for it, but you should be drafting a quarterback for your roster like in round 4 or 5, not because they're going to turn into Tom Brady, but because your whole department needs experience drafting a quarterback. It's very different than you think. Like, it's, you know, it's hard to, especially, you know, look, it's unfortunately when you are the Jags or you are picking 3rd or 2nd or whatever, you know, you need a quarterback, and you don't, it's better to not need them. So if you get better, if you do a better job practicing drafting quarterbacks, what they need, then one, you create better backup quarterbacks for the entire league. And two, you have a better idea of how to do it when you absolutely need to. So that's my, like, you know, that's the strategy I would take. But the Jordan Love thing made no sense for a couple of reasons. And not the, you know, the biggest and most blaring one to me was that he didn't have many of the markers that would indicate he would be kind of a starter if he had some time to sit. He kind of has a backup quarterback sort of marker situation. I don't know how he's evolved in the past year or what he can learn, but he certainly wasn't worth first-round equity.
It's a great point about your – I never thought of it that way. When you talk about a team should always – and I agree with you, late – to get used to drafting, that's a good point. I never really kind of thought of it from that angle, and it is smart for teams to do it, just obviously not in the first round as the Packers did. Everybody check out Cynthia.
No, that's ridiculous in the first round.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. Everybody check out Cynthia on Twitter at Cynthia Freeland or at C Freeland, and watch the NFL Network, of course, for the big schedule release tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Thank you, Cynthia. We appreciate the time.
Always. Happy to be here.